That's a Christian would say that. We're not getting up a busload to go right now, but we know we'd like to go, and one day we're going to go if we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Every Christian in our heart, really, in our heart, we would rather be in heaven. Now, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I'll do anything for them. I don't die for them. I live for them.
Right, right.
If I died, I'd die for me. We did a memorial service here yesterday, and it turned out real good, and the Lord blessed it. But we mourn over people dying, and especially believers, we mourn over them dying, when we ought to rejoice in the Lord that they're with the Lord.
Amen.
And I don't know about where you live, but where I live and in my country and in my world and in my mind and in my circles, this world's a mess.
Amen.
Excuse me. This world is getting worse every day.
Amen.
And I know that's only fulfillment of Scripture, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We knew that was coming. We knew that was coming. It shouldn't shock us.
Right.
It really shouldn't. So, as we go through these days, and this is sinuses, y'all, I'm sorry. As we go through these troubled times, a lot of times people say, well, I'd just be better off in heaven. And you would be. You would be. But he said that the Lord wanted me to stay so I'd be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Amen. You wouldn't be saved if somebody hadn't witnessed to you.
Right.
You wouldn't be saved if somebody hadn't prayed for you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be saved if some of you wouldn't even be alive if somebody hadn't put up with you.
Come on now.
He's talking about how long his wife endured him. Amen. Well, the Bible says he that endured to the end shall be saved. So she's just hanging on, trying to live long you do.
Amen.
But I'm telling you. But we live to be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
Amen. The Christian life is, y'all young people, I don't know what you think, but the Christian life's not about you.
Right. Come on now.
It's about others.
Wow.
Amen.
Jesus' life was not about Jesus. It was about others.
That's right.
And look, if we know Him, we want to be like Him. And so we live not to grab all the gusto we can get, as that old beer commercial used to say, but we live for others. You husbands and fathers, I don't know why you go to work every day, but I've always went to work every day for my wife and children. I didn't go for me. I could live out in the woods somewhere under a tree and eat rabbit and squirrel and I know how to build a rabbit box. I can fish. I can frog gig. If you ain't ever eat frog legs, you probably ain't never going to go to heaven. You just don't know nothing about spiritual things. But I preached in jails. I preached in chain gangs. When they used to call them chain gangs, now it's detention center. Out there they call it York County Hotel. It's detention centers. And you know, in all those places I preached, I never found a happy person. Wasn't a real happy person in there. I didn't say they didn't smile. I've said they wasn't happy. But you know, that's not so with the Apostle Paul. He rejoiced and told other people to do the same thing. He said, I rejoice. Now the man had been beaten. He had been stoned and left for dead. He looked so bad. He'd been put in jail. Every town he went to, he caused a riot. You wouldn't have voted him in as your pastor. He was a jailbird. Everywhere he went, it was a problem. Everywhere he went, people either loved him or hated him. And more of them hated him than they did love him. But he said, I rejoice. And later on he says, rejoice always. Because he'd been in jail, he'd been in court, he'd been lied on, he'd been misused and abused and beaten and stoned. And here's a man said, I'd have probably been better off during that time if they'd have went ahead and killed me, I'd have went to heaven. But the Lord won't let me to go. The Lord wants me to stay here to be a blessing to you. I know the average church, the average sermon nowadays is all about you, but that's not what Christianity is about. It's about others. My wife and I drove church buses and did bus routes and three or four different churches, and we'd get bus routes started, have two or three, four bus routes, and I'd drive one, and we'd get on there. My wife stayed car sick from the moment we left the house, about 7:30, 8 o'clock on Sunday. She'd get car sick and stay car sick all day long, running all over York County, picking up black, red, black and red, or black and white, and mixtures and everything else. And people say, Brother Ron, why do y'all do that? Their parents won't go to church, and their parents are not going to get saved. I said, boy, isn't that hard work? I said, it's hard work. And I look up back on it now. I don't even know how I did that. We drive those buses, and we'd leave early in the morning and take them to church in York or in Rock Hill or even up to Pine. Ride all them kids around. And it's hard work. We'd get home, 1 o'clock to eat lunch. And then sometimes after lunch, we'd turn around and start all over again. And people say, why'd you do that? Well, if you really are a child of God, you want to see people saved, you get joy out of serving others.
That's right.
And until you have some little black girl about 8 or 9 years old come up and put some brown sugar on you right there, slobber real good.
Yes.
You ain't never had no joy. Hey, until you get some little old kid, boy, you go to the house and pick them up, and daddy's still in the bed drunk, mom is too, and they come out there smiling and happy that you put them on the bus, and they got to hear about Jesus, and they got to go to summer camp, and I met the two yesterday, reminded me of summer camp, all those years we did summer camp, and I didn't think they'd listen. But see, Christianity is not about you, it's about others. And he said, look, I get a blessing serving you.
Yes.
Now I got to think about that. God's abundant blessings.
Amen.
God's abundant blessings. Now I got to think about what are some of those blessings. Now this ain't my typical sermon. I'm usually running you scripture to scripture, but today I'm just going to share some of my heart with you. What are some of the abundant blessings of God? Now, God, hey, the same sun shines on the just and the unjust. The same rain falls on the just and the unjust. The grace of God goes out to everybody. And just being alive, But I got to think about some particular blessings. Number one, I thought about the blessing of a healthy mind. The blessing of that. Paul knew Jesus as his Savior. Paul was in his right mind.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You remember the Gadarene maniac? Jesus cast 1,000 demons out of him. And once the demons were gone, the Bible says he was sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind.
Yes.
What a blessing,
yes,
to be in my right mind. Now you may think I'm a little screwy and a little messed up, but I'm telling you something, where I come from, I look real good. I'm in my right mind. Thank God I can still remember my name. Thank God I can still remember my address. Thank God he's been good to me. And Paul was in his right mind. Why would you say that, preacher? He kept going to jail and getting out and kept getting stoned and beat up and cast out of town. I tell you why. Because his mind was right with God. And he had that perfect peace that passes all understanding. He loved the Lord. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was an educated man?
Yes, sir.
Did you know he was a man of convictions? And he was in jail because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only reason he was in jail. Did you know that his mind was healthy and free of worry? And even while he was being stoned or beaten or cast out or thrown in jail, he rejoiced in the Lord and said, hallelujah anyhow.
Amen.
Now that's being in your right mind. You know, lost people think we're crazy. I remember when I first started going to church about 1975, 76, you know, and we'd gotten married and started having kids and went down there to Eastside Baptist Church, and that preacher, he'd get up and preach and he'd cry and he'd holler, and I'd think, that man's crazy. The man's crazy. He's lost his mind. And people would get up in the choir and they'd sing, get to crying and going on, you know. I think those people have lost their mind. But the truth was, I wasn't in my right mind and they were. Amen. And then March 5th, 1978, when I got saved, I found myself sitting at the feet of Jesus in my right mind. Amen. All those crazy things. I used to believe in little green men and UFOs. Don't laugh. You believe, hey, you have to. You've read the books and stuff. And that's what all people, if you believe in evolution, you got to believe on that. And we used to listen to rock songs, you know, like they was coming back to get us one day and take us home and all that stuff, you know. We were the crazy ones. The Christians were the ones that had it right.
Amen.
They had the blessing of being in their right mind. Today, there's people out there right now don't know God, don't know whether they'd go to heaven, don't know if they'd even go anywhere when they died, and they're scared to death of a little old virus that's killing 1% of the people that get it, and 1% of people ain't even getting it. But they're over there locked up in their house and they're wearing masks and shields and coveralls, and saw a guy go in the store yesterday. He had on a mask and he had on this big old heavy coat. Yeah, big old coat with a hood on it, and he had on these big old thick gloves, and he walked over that door and these people was coming out the door, and he grabbed the door with one finger and pulled it up, and as they came by, he went,
"Lord
But he thinks I'm crazy because I live by faith. Now, I'm not making fun of people that are scared. Some people ought to be afraid of any virus. You ought to be afraid of flu, some of you. The flu can kill people too.
Oh,
I've had flu many times and laid there and said, "Lord, if you ain't going to heal me, go ahead and kill me. This hurts so bad, you know." But look, when you get saved like the Apostle Paul, it doesn't matter where you're from. It matters where you're going, you know.
Right.
And he got in his right mind. You ought to keep your mind healthy. You ought to keep your mind settled on the Lord. Let me tell you how to turn your mind to mush. Watch television all day. Stay on the computer all day. I'll tell you how to destroy your kids' mind. Give them computer games.
You're right.
Amen. Why is it they take the gun out of Elmer Fudd's they done took his rifle out of his hands in the cartoon because they said that's too dangerous. And Yosemite Sam, the shooting, tooting cowboy, they done took his guns away from him. But they'll let them play the video games where they blow each other's head off. Blood goes everywhere. You know, I never saw blood on TV or in a cartoon until after my kids came along. They didn't show us that. People got killed and they went, it took 5 minutes to die. Never was no blood. And they think we're crazy. Keep your mind clean. You know how you do that? Get it settled on God. Get your mind settled on God. Think on these things, he said. These things are pure and honest and lovely. And the only way you're going to do that is get your mind on him. There's a lot of people who've had their minds twisted by the society we're in. Now, I don't mean to be mean, but if you're 6'4" and you weigh 300 pounds and you got a mustache, you put lipstick and high heels on, I don't think that's the right mind, do you? And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you probably need to get saved. Amen. Look, you get saved, God will settle all that. You say, "Well, I'm confused. I don't know whether I'm a man or a woman, or I'm a little bit of both, or I'm neither. I might be a dog." I tell you what, get saved and God will put the right mind in you.
Amen. Come on,
brother. Amen. You know what you do to have a right mind? You be alert to the evils of this world. Because he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he'll use everything. He's the prince of the power of the air. That means he's in control. Now they're saying Chinese are in control of most of the internet. The devil's been in control of it ever since the day it was made. He's been in control of the TV and all that. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're teaching against TV. I watch Andy Griffith. Well, most people don't. They're watching something that ain't good for them. So, look, keep your mind pure. Movies, TV, music, media. These things will corrupt your mind if you let them. They'll trouble your mind. And you won't have the blessings of a good mind. Listen. He said, abstain from evil. And not only that, abstain from the appearance of evil.
Yeah.
And it'll keep your mind right. Now look, you can only think on one thought at a time.
That's right.
I don't care if you're schizophrenic. You can't think on but one thing at a time. That's all you can do. That's it. Nobody can think of more than one thing at a time. So, what are you supposed to do? Well, if you can only think on one thing at a time, get your mind on the Lord by reading the Scriptures.
Amen. Come on.
You know, a daily dose of the Scriptures would calm a whole lot of minds. It'd help them. It'd really help them. Now, I got to go. Look. Remember, you can have only one thought. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. And usually if it's of this world, it's going to be bad. So get your mind on Christ. Keep your mind on Him. And you have the blessings of a good mind. Put good things in there. Well, look, I got saved in the 70s and we were bad. Matter of fact, we're the ones that ruined the whole thing to start with. We're the ones that started this snowball that's going down the hill right now. Boy, we'd listen to old Black Sabbath, you know, and they go, boom, 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 boom. And he'd do that over and 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 over. And then you add a little drugs and alcohol with that, and it amplified that, and it turned up anger, and it turned up bitterness, and it turned up lust, and it turned up hatred. And boy, we walked around all the time. We just had our chip on our shoulder, just wanting somebody to knock it off.
That's it.
I know, you listen to Motown. Well, it stirred up some stuff too.
Yeah.
Amen. What got quiet on that? I don't know who 50 Cent is or 25 Cent is or Bonsai or Yonsei or nothing like that. So I have to talk about the ones I know, okay? Steppenwolf. Well, if that wouldn't drive you to hell, nothing would. Keep your mind on good things. Read your Bible. Pray. Profanity will ruin your mind. Listen. Stay away from things that will dirty or cloud your mind and make it unhealthy. I stay away from people that are questionable. I stay away from things that are questionable. And then I thought about this blessing. Not only have I got a pretty good mind, now my memory ain't what it used to be, Ron. I know y'all see it up here. Sometimes if I don't get a good night's sleep or I'm sick, I'll forget things. But listen to this. I thank God for my memory.
Amen.
I like that song, Precious Memories. How they linger. Amen. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure you didn't turn into Methodist or something. Alright, stay with me. It's a blessing to have an active memory. Do you know what? Paul said he couldn't forget the blessings of God on his life. The man that went to jail, the man that got stoned, the man that got beaten, the man that they would cast out of every town he ever went into, that man counted the blessings that God had put on his life, and he remembered every one of them. You better remember where God brought you from.
Amen.
You better remember where God brought you from.
I
tell people all the time, I'm going to get over here and preach this side. They've had enough. Listen, I remember where God brought me from.
Yes.
And I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Boy, sometimes look at you, people look at you, oh, you're just old rich white man. You don't know where I come from.
Right.
You don't know the things I've had to forget.
Yes.
And thank God my best memory started March the 5th, 1978, when Jesus came in. Hey, I got memories of when he was calling me to him to be saved, and I rejected, and I rejected, and he called, and I rejected, and he called, and I rejected, and thank God that day the Holy Spirit in my heart said it's to now or it's never. You go today, today's the said day of salvation, and that day I stepped out, and I came down that aisle, and all the burdens just lifted, and all the burdens, and I'll never forget that memory, and I don't know when you got saved, but you better remember.
Yes.
And if you can't remember when you got saved, it's a good sign you're not saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all those old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Jesus said you must be born again. And when you get born again, that means new. Born anew. And brother, if we were born again, if we were born anew, surely we'd remember that, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Now, I don't remember the day I got born. Thank God he don't let those memories stay there. Hallelujah. I never went in the room where one was being born either. No, the men's place is in the waiting room. I was in there when my daughter Suzanne was giving birth to her daughter, and she run me out. I was in there another time when this church member was giving birth to her husband, wanted me to stay in there, and I wasn't watching. But I was listening. And I was thinking, I'm in the wrong place. He was up there holding her hand, trying to make her feel better, and she said, shut up! It's your fault! I said, I got to go. I don't belong in here. Thank God he lets those memories be gone when I was born. But when I was born again, it was a wonderful experience, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it through all eternity. Hey, thank God for a good memory. Now, we got a lot of bad memories, but you know what he said? Forgetting those things which are past. Let's press on. Let's press on. That old song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane.
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Now, look, if you got a memory of being saved, that'd be your song. Amen. Amen. I don't want to go back. I pray and beg God I'd never go back.
Every day. Amen.
Now, we're all tempted to go back. And sometimes we fail and fall, but we never go back. We get up and we keep short accounts with God and we press on.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for the memory of salvation. Paul couldn't forget it. And in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to him down on the road and knocked him down and blinded him. And he said, why are you kicking against me? He said, Lord, I don't know who you are. He said, it's Jesus. And Paul got saved.
Amen.
And God lifted.
Yes.
He went down to the street called Straight. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
He got straight. And he never forgot it. I got to hurry up. Y'all not listening fast enough. Listen. Listen. We ought to remember what God's done for us. You ought to keep that in your mind. Don't you ever forget it. Look, most of us come from nowhere. And God's blessed us since we've been saved. We may not be the richest person in town, but where we come from, we're rich compared to that. Amen. And some of us come from pretty lowly places. And you better not ever forget that. You better keep that active in your mind. Because if you don't, old pride will swell up. And you'll go back.
Come on now.
You remember what God's done for you? Now, Paul was raised right. He was taught right. He was a Jew of the Jews. He was called into the ministry. God blessed him in his persecutions and his sufferings. God was good to him. Even in the midst of his blessings and his sufferings and the persecution, God was good to him. And Paul over and over again remembered the blessings of God. Some of y'all thank God you was raised right. You were raised in a Christian home. Or at least you was raised in a family that had two parents in it, a mother and a father. Some of us didn't have that benefit. And you ought to keep remembering that. You ought to thank God. You say, well, my daddy wasn't the man he ought to be. You ought to thank God you had a daddy. I did. Did you know over half, 60% of the births now are illegitimate births? When I was born, it was 10%. Now, 60% of the births are illegitimate children who will not even ever meet their father. You'll thank God you had a father. If he's alive, you ought to go tell him. You say he's a drunk. Well, you'll thank God and pray for him. Love him anyway. The Bible commands you to love your mother and your father.
Amen.
No conditions. Now, God's been good to me. He saved me. Marshfield, 1970. He keeps me. I don't do that. He does that. He's promised to keep me.
Yes.
Amen. He said, now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless. That's his job. That ain't my job. I want to do good. I want to behave. I want to be right. But it's up to him to get me to heaven. He's already paid for it. Now it's him to go with me through this life and make a Christian out of me. When I got saved, I was a long way from a Christian. He's been good to me. Did you know he doesn't just save me and keep me? He protects me, Brother Allen. God protects me. God defends me. I've never had to stand up and defend myself. God, I depend on God to defend me. God will save you. He'll keep you. He'll protect you. And God will defend you. When that crowd comes around and says, well, they ain't much of a Christian, he'll say, I don't care what you think about him. They're mine. He's mine. Thank God. My Heavenly Father, thank God for active memory. Hey, I got 14 more pages. Philippians chapter 4. I don't really. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Aphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You ought to have a grateful heart.
Amen.
You ought to have a grateful heart. Paul said, I'm grateful for what you folks did for me. It came from a sweet heart. And we ought to be thankful for what people do for us. We live in the most unthankful generation of time than there's ever been in America.
Yes.
I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful for oranges.
Yes.
Big deal, huh? They don't know. We didn't get oranges growing up except at Christmas. Went down to the mill. They gave Mama a bag for every child. You had one orange, one apple, one banana, a little bit of candy, and a coloring book, and probably a flute. Plastic toy. You remember that? You remember that? I'm thankful for everything God does for me. God, hey, look, I'm like the Apostle Paul. Hey, the Apostle Paul says, but I have all and abound. And I'm full. Having received these blessings from other people. Look, when you get right with God and you get your mind right and you get your heart right, you'll be grateful. You know, I'm glad God saved me when he did and where he did and the preacher that preached the message. All that was just for me.
Yeah.
All that. In eternity past, in God's providence, God set every bit of that up just so this old boy right here could be saved. Same with you, wherever you got saved. God set that up. You'll be thankful for that. I've never been ashamed of where God brought me from because God's been so good to me and I just want to thank God and praise God and give him all the glory. We'll have a grateful heart. Let me ask you something. Are you happy to be saved?
Yes.
Let's just be honest. Are you happy to be saved? A lot of people say they're saved. They look like they've been eating persimmons. Or chewing on lemon peel. Amen, don't they? And they come to church like this, they go, well, bless me if you can, preacher. I've had a hard week. And then they go out and they say, he preached too long. Well, I was trying to hit your butt. He ought not try to be so funny. I'm looking at you. Listen, are you happy to be saved? Are you happy the Holy Spirit dwells in you?
Yes.
Boy, I tell you what, I got saved. I went down there to an industrial cotton mill, 20-something years old. I sit there and watch that 600 yards of yarn go through that machine all night long, and I got a Bible back there that blown to some backslider he left on the job, and I'd sit there and I'd start reading that Bible, brother, and I'd start crying. I never read these things in the Bible. I didn't know that he was wounded for me. I didn't know he was beaten for me. I didn't know he was paying for my transgression. I'd read that and I'd cry out loud, and old guy on the back of the machine come up there and say, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing, I'm happy."
That's right.
I'm happy. I'm grateful that God singled me out and saved me and keeps me and blesses me, and he gives me a good mind. And if I ain't in my right mind, please don't tell me I'm doing pretty good. Are you happy you have a Bible?
Yes.
Or you could be living in some weird country where the Bible's against the law, and some people would have it against the law here. Well, I'm just glad I can open up old King James Bible. That thing's 400 and something years old. Did you know that? 400 and something years old, and it still saves those sinners like me and you.
Amen.
I can still go out to the jail and watch them big old men. I can preach that, and they'll cry like little babies when I preach that book. 400 something years old. Hey, and that's been translated from a book that's 6,000 years old. You know, look, are you happy you have a Bible?
Yes.
Do you, hey, if you are, you ought to read it every day. I got to hurry. I'm halfway through. I'm gonna go. Look, are you happy that you can read a book and follow it and know you're following the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm doing right or not. I just open up his instruction book.
Yes.
Do you think about this? I'm happy I have a church that believes the Bible.
Yes.
I'm glad my preacher ain't a he that says he's a she, and she ain't a she that says he's a he. And I'm glad he doesn't preach coexistence. He says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. I'm glad they still believe the Bible. I'm glad they still praise the Lord. I'm glad they still sing the old hymns. I'm glad they still love old sinners.
Yes,
amen. I'm glad they don't care what color you are, where you come from. They're more concerned about where you're going.
Amen.
Hey, we'll be happy about that. Do you know how many people are all around this country looking for a Bible preaching, Bible believing church?
Yes.
We know better than anybody else, but thank God he let me be here.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Not many grateful anymore. Did you know that ingratitude is a sin?
Yes. Yes.
Brother Adam, he'll talk to me. Brother Adam, would you say murder is a sin? Would you say adultery is a sin? Would you say ingratitude is a sin because they're not thankful for what God's done for them? Unthankfulness. Now wait a minute, I just threw that in with adultery and murder.
You're right.
Well, God looks down there and he said, well, it's sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Whether it's murder or ungratefulness, ingratefulness. Look, whatever it is, if it's out of the will of God, it's sin. 1 John says, sin is the transgression of the law. And we're to love God, we're to praise God, we're to honor God.
Yes.
And we're to be thankful. Boy, I better go on. Got quiet on that. Amen. You ever been in a store and saw some little brat, child, screaming and hollering, and they got, I gotta have that, I gotta have that, I gotta have that. And the buggy's full of junk already. And what do you want to do? Well, preacher, you mean, no, that child will never be happy until they're taught to be thankful.
Yes. Right.
Philippians 4:19. I know I've gone over in a little overtime here, but listen, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are you grateful for what you have? Now I'm not talking about your house. You ought to be grateful if you live under a tree. I'm not talking about your automobile. You ought to be grateful if you just got a bicycle. If you ain't got one, I'll give you one. You ought to be grateful if you got clothes and not a I'm talking about, are you grateful for what you have in God?
Yes.
You have faith. You have hope. You have peace. You have love. You have joy. You have eternal life. You're going to live long as God lives. You'll never die because of what Jesus Christ did for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Are you grateful for that?
Yes.
We'll work ourselves to death and buy a big old house that the government never will let us own. Because we're going to have to pay them every year on it. Well, after you get it paid off, you still got to pay taxes on it. Unless you live real old. Some people live past taxes. But we'll work real hard and buy that big old house. And then it turns into labor. Remember what I said all the time? We ain't nothing but maintenance people around here. We're always fixing something. You don't ever own that house. You get that big old car, you know, Cadillac. Jeffrey ain't in here. Jeffrey's a Chevrolet man. Boy, you get that big old brand new Dodge Charger, you know. And then pretty soon you're tired of pushing the clutch. Amen. You get that new pickup truck, same thing. But let me tell you something you'll never get tired of. If you get saved, get right with God, let him put you in your right mind and put thankfulness in your heart, you'll have gratitude and you'll thank God for everything that he does for you. He leads you. He guides you. He gives you a grateful heart. Now, I'm going to say this and I'll close. Lost or saved, all blessings come from God.
That's right.
Lost or saved, all blessings come from the Father above. Every one of them. Life, breath, health, even wealth. Lost or saved, it was a gift of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It was a blessing of God. Son, those designer tennis shoes you like so much, if you ever get them, you need to give God the glory. Because your mom can't afford to buy them anyway. It'll be a miracle. Amen.
Amen.
Or you might get a job. Oh, but anyway, listen. Amen. Listen to me and I'm done. Everybody will be thankful, lost or saved. They'll be grateful they're alive and breathing and walking and talking and born in America and they're free. But the greatest blessing is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can, hey listen, you can lose your health, you can lose your wealth, you can lose friendship, you can lose stuff, and you can still be happy and in your right mind. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, so the question is, are you grateful for the blessings? Whether saved or lost, are you grateful? And everybody in here, if they were honest, would have to say, yes, God's been good to me. I ought to be in hell. I'm not in hell. Lost people should say, I'm not in hell and I ought to be. And one day I'm going, but I don't want to go. And so I need Jesus to save me.
Amen.
But Wilder, that old song, let's see. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. It's all God. And I'm just happy to be here. And I'm happy to be saved. And if you're not saved today, I'd be happy to introduce you to my Savior.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father.